he was garnering crack spelt for health food bars. And now he has found that the Armenians, or the old country people, I like to call them, have discovered that he has spelta, so they are just raiding all of his sacks of spelt until he can't keep them for his bar. And that's what all this activity has been about, to try and get upgraded quantity-wise equipment. But it was built in about 1814, according to Charles, and is most interesting. And, of course, we have no spelt, so the spelt also has to be purchased and then processed. But we're all feeling our way through it. And Art has spent hours out welding together pieces of this and that. And anyway, I don't know if they've got it running, but all the youngsters are out, you know, pouring cement and making platforms. And Bob James was out welding together a platform. And Charles, of course, is mothered these things with Band-Aids and baling wire until he's sick of it. But it's holding you together. It's holding you together while you garner what you need and the people that you must have. And it's necessary for the farm, or you will lose it to foreclosure. And that means you lose all of that equipment, all of everything that is established there that you've done. And yet Turner can't do very much elsewise, because he also is living in this world in your day with deteriorating property that's not easily sold. And he had a buyer, which he put aside to allow you ones to give it another try. And he has agreed not to raise the lease price until at least March to kind of meet the need here in between. And we're very, very appreciative. He'll reevaluate then as to what he can do. So we will struggle along here. And the reason that I bring Petros into the picture is that he knows he belongs here. He's been here twice and he knows he belongs here. But for goodness sakes, he cannot go into the health department because, and when I speak, I'm talking about arena or area, not department as such. Because his wife, after being quite content to do what she's been doing and rearing the children to get them up now to an age where she feels she can continue her career, they live with parents who own a store, I believe in Van Nuys. I could be a little bit wrong with areas. But she wants now to go back and get her medical certificate. And that's always a problem when you come from a foreign country, literally, into the United States. And it's a real struggle to catch up and do all that work and then get brainwashed again as to what medicine will and will not do, and get brainwashed into the drug trade again and all of those things. And so she couldn't quite abide. You know, he came out and gathered up baskets of bread and butter and Gyakold and Gyakol and information falling out his arms. He could not get enough. But he took it home to fall on very deaf ears. Because I am a medical doctor and I know better. But God works in mysterious ways. She got very, very sick. And she guessed she would try some of that Gyakol. And by the next day, she was quite well. So we can be patient. Let's stop biting each other. Because we waste so much time and energy. And yet, it had to be this way. It had to come this way. And we will move on through it. It's always a matter of, Paul is absolutely right, it's not enough just to say, it's okay, we're just sorting. No, ones are sorting selves, and that's okay. And any time that we can restructure and all get on that same journey, that same path, nobody ever has to be ashamed to come back here. Because there ain't nobody in this room perfect enough to cast that stone. Not me, not you. So, EJ, if you want to share up some of the writing, some of this is going to be a little pointed. Most of it is because, as of yesterday, yesterday's writing, we are the smallest part of the team. So when you wonder why I might say some things or write some things or do some things, once it is out into the public, I must respond because you are the smallest part of the team. And they are asking, they are demanding to know. And then many of the writings are personal that I would hope don't go out as a document in a book, for instance. It isn't that it is being hidden. It is that it's private and it's none of anybody's business and can very well bring pain to others. And that is not our business. But we have to respond to some of the things that are demanded of us in writing for response. I cannot avoid them. And this is my conduit. So if you would divide that up, let's hear yesterday's. We won't make you go all through the week, but I do need you to hear yesterday's, and then I need you to hear this morning's.
Do you want Vladimir to say anything first?
If Vladimir has something to say. Nothing. I felt he didn't, and I don't want to embarrass him. But he'll stay a little closer, maybe. Come more often. Noriel needs to come more often.
Let's see. Find me another battery. We're low on battery.
Do you want this
no,
microphone?
Yeah.
Dorma and I went round and round while we're just sitting here waiting for them to get their gear in order. About meetings and gatherings and what would we do. You know, the human is completely confused and ill at ease. And then our decision was, together, that we would march right on, right through all of the upheavals. There's not going to be a perfect world with no confrontations and no upheavals. And if every time it seems painful, we just quit, we won't make it, people, because you need the strength and the support system. And what she doesn't openly realize, she needs it more than any of you, these meetings. It's her only touch with reality in the life I ask her to live. Are we ready?
Yes, we're ready. Had the volume up a little too loud.
By the way, when you get to the cake, I have one little thing. Those are Dorma's dahlias, and they're on the tail end of the season. They were spectacular. But there is a tiny green frog, less than an inch big, that lives in the dahlias. So if you see a green frog, it's hers. Thank you.
Gonna get a print out of this yet?
It's her last hope for a print, yes. Oh, dear. Well, do you mind, Margie, if we don't answer that?
Okay. This is from Saturday, October the 21st, 1995. Is there life after brain trauma? How about heart trauma? Yes, if you learn something of value. May we take a minute to speak to this subject? Cyrus is often quoted as he offered, quote, "All have their frailties, and whoever looks for a friend without imperfections will never find what he seeks. We love ourselves, notwithstanding our faults, and we ought to love our friends in like manner." Oh, how might this be? First of all, readers, we may search for friends, but friends are not some commodity on the market as you would find an apple on the shelf, and pick only the ones with no bruises or blemishes. The worst part of the above statement is the lie, that we love ourselves notwithstanding our faults. We don't, and as a matter of fact, most of us despise ourselves, and hence can see nothing save frailties in another. We worse set up ourselves and our friends to have the same fall and failings. Well, it doesn't work when one is serving God, because the one in service has no time to attend the frailties of another. And further, if that other claims friendship and serves as a partner in service, he must be trusted. When that trusted friend takes advantage or lies about his doings, he has not ever been a friend. You have to accept the difference. As you move on, you must, however, pause and look back from time to time, but realize that living in the past is a dull and lonely practice, for always looking backward strains the neck, unless you turn around and see only that which is past. In addition, I would warn you that in doing this you will bump into people not going your way, and they shall smite you for your carelessness. You must hold true friends with both your hands, and in that way you have no hands left to dabble in that which is not your business. There are three very valid friendships which you might consider carefully, for they offer great advantage and give forth even more advantage to self as well as the friend. Friendship with the sincere and honest, friendship with the upright, and with the person of much observation. The latter can grow and learn, and I must remind you that love, in truth, must continually be nurtured, not schemed against, and it must be learned and learned again and again. There is no end to it. When a man turns away and smites you, he has no other friend from the beginning, for he was no friend from the beginning, for he could not reach beyond his own reflection. When these self-imaged reflectors move on, rejoice and release. Remember that these searchers were looking for their own reasons when they found you. These are the ones who shall ever look and never, or rarely at best, find. They do not want truth, they want lie to be a reflection of what they perceive, and that is measured in the confusion and sickness of warped personalities and minds. They will stay longer if you are equally as warped, but when you catch on to the game, you will speak out, and they cannot bear the confrontation, for theirs is the blame game, while demanding you accept both their flaws and mischief as your own. These people don't make it in the real world, where measurements are made on practical business structure. They can only hold on to existence by the glue that is wrought through misperceptions of spiritual allowances. Our job at hand demands more. The golden scripts. I am often asked about the golden scripts penned by the recorder. I have recently received more inquiries about these presentations, and I assume the writer speaks of Pele's recordings. I, as a teacher, am not so familiar with others' works. I am in knowing of that which is, and I often do not study my brethren's works. This is not aloofness. It is that I have no right to speculate on that with which I am not totally informed. I can give you the rule of thumb. If truth is present and the teachings are from God's instructions, it is worthy. If not, no amount of prattling about it will make it right. I try to offer that which is referenced somewhere in your physical plane so that you have confirmation and recognition. We write it again so that you have remindings and references and to offer that which is congruent and concurrent with your experiences of the day in which you find yourselves expressing.
May I? Something flitted through the brain. And it needs response because this triggered the question that was petitioned to me on yesterday from South Africa. There is one that has come through, and the reason that I want to interrupt at this point and cover this is because it is also something that is not in my realm of business or perception, but I can look at it, and they've asked me for a response. It's a rather strange story, so please bear with me a minute. There is one who has, quote, appeared to have come from almost nowhere, although you'll find that it most certainly did come from somewhere, and suddenly was in the midst of the little gathering group in South Africa. And it seemed to be a hermaphrodite, is, I believe, your technical term for one who is neither man nor woman. As this person grew up, it was considered to be man. I don't know, I'm not interested in what it was. But it claims some very unusual things and some very unusual states of being in its physical makeup, etc. And at one time it even claimed to be a great speaker from other dimensions in the form of some interesting god. Now, I'm not commenting on that, because that's not the question. As time went on, there was a falling out with this person, and then through the time, it came back. Only when it came back, it had surgically changed its sex, so it's she. I can't quarrel that, because they now say that she is pregnant and is going to bear a child, which has, in its short little lifespan, grown twice as fast as any other normal pregnancy would offer growth to a fetus. Is this the Christ child, I'm asked? Is this what we're waiting for? Is this being special? Is the child special? Etc. I will repeat, the Christ is not on your place yet. Would those beings house the Christ at some point? No. I can tell you right off, no. For many, many reasons that you would easily understand. But my question and urgency of answer is, should they really attend this more specifically than they are? No. That's the point of the game. To get more special attending, and then one can rise up and become a great authority. Because people tend to want to worship something in these days. Stop worshiping things. God does not even ask for worship. God asks for respect and reverence. So why would you worship something that can't make up its own mind what it is or where it came from? First, it came from anthropological podunk out there somewhere beyond the nearer stars. No. No matter what it is or who it is, if it be a humble carrier of God's will, it will not present itself in this manner. But more specifically, the energy form of the Christ God is not on your place. And that is so you're not confused by the false prophets, the eager seers. You'll know when that moment arrives. And there are plenty of messengers, plenty of spokesmen, plenty of ones to carry the banner. Without waiting for an image to appear in the sky that was drawn by Michelangelo to be thrust upon your minds. The time is drawing nigh. Yes. But God's all around you. God is all around you. So I would hope that that message gets back. You don't need to be ignorant about it or tee-hee-hee about it. Just tell them to relax. God is not on your place at this time in physical form. Go ahead, please.
I would, however, find that the language of the scripts could find misinterpretation because of the terms used therein. We each tend to speak in such manner as would be recognized by the readers of a given time, and often that causes great loss of input by the attending generation of readers or listeners. I could give you example after example, but let me just paraphrase passages which I find accurate and see if you can hear them more easily. Let us consider the 35th speaking from the scripts, chapter 242.
That's if you want to go look it up and you have the golden scripts. I chose not to go to the bother of comparison.
And see that which it actually says. It is now time to know that the time is here when it moves beyond reason to know whereof the actual battle rage. It now comes unto man that he is depressed and in darkness, and there seems to be none to lift him from that state of controlled existence. But there is a way to rise above and beyond all things gone before, if you but see and grasp the hand that reaches out in truth and knowing. Man has come to hate truth, for he recognizes it not from the garbage of lies cast upon him. Man has become accepting of his penury and want and starvation, both of body and soul, even of suffering, else he would rise and smite the smiter of his destinies. Ah, but would this not simply have a more massive smiting coming back to himself? So we smite with pen and truth. The enemy does not know what to do with truth and peaceful strength. The enemy is forced to increase his control and make more obvious his lies until he becomes transparent before the world viewers. How dare you call this oppression your destiny? It is not the intended lot of man to be put down. Man has a temper to grind with his enemy of life and freedom. He has a lechery to overcome. He has a basket to fill with goodly fruits, which he picks of his own accord from the Father's garden of mercy and justice. He has a destiny to complete, which does not come only from some miserable suffering. But man has to perceive that which is goodly and sort it from that which will cast him down. It behooves man to take of that which is of importance to his soul, for he must come to know that he stands or falls by his own intentions. I am weary of those who say, Lord, Lord, we love you and do your bidding, but simply use to accomplish their hidden agendas. I would have those depart from me when they turn and conspire with the evil one adroitly, thinking that I forgive them. In that good ever comes from such evil thinking, for goodness is birthed from goodness, not of evil. But I find most timely the truth in the following writings of the Master as presented. Be advised, beloved friends, for I warn you that death is stalking those who linger by the wayside while the fields are heavy with the harvest of abundance and makes efforts to deny brethren of their like rightful harvest. This is not worthy of any who claim to be of God. You must arise and be about your Father's business. If your heart is heavy and seems broken, bind it up and rise to do better in goodness until those who have done what is perceived by you to be an injury prove of your worthiness for doing more. Injury is only to prove the unworthiness for all to see and know. Friends, be advised. The enemy stalks you. He crouches as does a lion in hiding. He tears the very life of the soft ones. He roars and he blasphemeth. However, I can tell you that he does you no damage or injury while you are about our Father's business. It is only when you labor not, but fall into wayside mischiefs, does the evil beast find entry to tear at you. For he can see your goings and your comings, and acknowledges that he cannot outwit those who go in a straight line in the right pathway. He can, however, have a claw to dig at the ones who stand on the wayside and are aid and abet the dragon, for the dragon has a way to tear down the ones who make evil choices. Those ones who turn from God shall fall if they stand in the pathway of justice and honor. They fall, however, of their own works and actions, and to speak otherwise in blame is but to further prove dishonor. In our mission toward passage from the bondage, we must have ones who can perceive a lean land and fill it. They dig wells for fresh water and learn how to cleanse that which is tainted. They give it to brethren who have thirst. Some with whom we share will have stingers with which to prick us, but if we are of God, we will prevail. You may well have to dwell with your enemy and the enemy of God, but you, within your soul, have no cause to honor him. I suggest you taunt not, boast not, give neither aid nor comfort unto your enemy by praising and flattering his self-proclaimed prowess, or by pretending with him for his favors that he is brilliant or intelligent. A man will be found out by his own actions, and intent will become revealed. Hear me and my words. Be wise. Be wise and shrewd as a fox, but gentle and blessed as the doves of the fields. Beware of the self-proclaimed eagles, for they tear with talons and hooked beak while pretending to be the great ruler of God's gatherers. In the beginning, the eagle did not dine on the carcass of his slain victims, nor scavenge off the rot of decaying bodies. Mankind has developed the eagle's need to forage among the living dead, which has caused him to forget that he is a wonderment of perfection who fuels himself with the energy of the universe and dines on the rays of the cosmos. Be most cautious of those who merely say, quote, I am here and would labor with you in the fields of goodness. Ask as to what he would labor at, that the harvest may be gathered. Each of you claim to want communion with brethren and with hosts. Ah, but do you? Here, right here in your dooryard, you have opportunity upon opportunity to assist, and you do not even think of it. There is a farm right here that needs repair, paint, cleaning, roofing, equipping, building, and constructing milling equipment, and only the one or two come forth to help. The fences need mending and preparation for winter, needs accomplishment, but few even offer to help. God is watching the flock. A vision is of no value without the actions to accomplish the image. Will you wait for Thanksgiving to share the feast? Oh, dear ones, you let the very gifts of eternal life pass you by without participation. You labor not and harvest not that which is available while awaiting it to be handed to you upon the silver platter, because it fits not your job description. Well, perhaps you don't fit into my job description. It is time, readers, to be about our Father's business. It is time to pick up your sickles and proceed unto the cutting. I can promise you something. If you labor not, there shall be no harvest for thee. I note that at the farm itself, the moment the trouble arose, all stopped attending even the garden. Is this to make the workers pay even more dearly for their taking of responsibility and accepting more burden upon their own few shoulders? Is there some reason you as individuals cannot cut the heads of grain with your pruners or scissors to feed the fowl which produce you eggs? You are offered abundance, and you let it fall in the fields. You who sit upon the bended fence are going to be sitting on the fence at liftoff for I will leave you to your perch. Great words may well enthrall the heart, mind, and soul, but the expression is reflected in the physical actions, in the fields. It is not enough to proclaim God. You must reflect God in that what ye would have him give unto you, you must be willing at the least to pick up the grain, lest it be trampled into the soil and wasted forever. When God offers his chariots, will you be there or waiting for some miracle elsewhere? Your ending will reflect your journey and be found in your destination. Oh well. I do not coerce your choices, I only give you mine. I have conditions upon which I base every action, every thought. I offer absolute allowance, but tell you of my own conditions. I serve God, Creator. If I may or can also serve you, I am grateful. His conditions are my conditions, and I am required to labor in the fields. Why should I share my harvest with you who do not labor beside me? What else of wonderment do you have to do? Can you even remember what you ate for dinner Tuesday evening last? How about lunch? When did you last exercise at an expensive gym? When did you last wash a wall or paint a ceiling or nail a shingle on a roof? When did you last pick fruits of the garden, pull a weed or preserve squash or shelter and food? For shelter and food. Oh, I will do it for you. I don't think so, for if you contribute not to the larder, call yourself Mother Hubbard. He who helps self in integrity and honor shall reap the reward of same a thousandfold. I did not come to tend you. I came to show you the way. I did not come to labor for you. I came to allow you to receive from your own labors. I did not come to simply love you. I came to offer truth and the meaning of love. God is not unconditional love. God is absolute love with lots of conditions. Nor am I enough for now, friend, for you may go and glean some supply of grain for the winter feed for the creatures who shall otherwise be hungry. If need be, grind it and make bread for the creatures who eat not the seeds. They do eat seed cake. It is time to attend the hatches, that the holes may not be empty when they are battened against the coming storms. The people laughed and taunted Noah also. It is a good parable myth to be remembered. Millet makes sweet bread and pottage to fill the belly, especially for the babes, and offers good fiber for the gut. You will each do that which you will, and speak and gossip as you will. But I can promise you that if you participate not in that which will hold you safe and secure, you shall not be safe and secure. He who takes of God's precious gifts and gives not back is undeserving of reward or shelter. When ones do not accept and appreciate the gifts of life, let them die in their foolishness and be buried by the dead. Keep a door on your larder and coffers and bring your friends within in need, but lock away the intruders, for they have made their choices against you. Why would you weep for the offenders? Weep not in silly thrashings about. Each has, in my presence, ability to learn and know truth. The dependence is upon you who will allow them to sneak back within your space, to hide beneath your garment in hopes of passage on your ticket. We have entrance requirements of only one soul per ticket. Will clipping grain in the field help earn a ticket? Yes, indeed. You do not have to have a commune to help your neighbor, much the less self. There are no guests in God's kingdom. Understand? You earn your way there, and you earn your keep after you get there. It is called home. Walk softly, friend, and dwell in thought upon these things, for no one is going to, nor can, do it for you. Oh, but I have no time for serving the farm or other tasks, as I have my own, you spout off to me. Well, good buddies, I have no time for serving you, for I also have my own to attend. Think about it, and be sure to wave goodbye as the neighbor slams the door in your innocent-looking faces. Do I suggest you choose sides? Yes, indeed. like very soon, for time is all but gone for the choosing. We have work to do, playing to do, life to live, and glory to be enjoyed. You are welcome aboard. You are not mandatory to our journey. In fact, a lot of you are proving that you are quite dispensable through one day and task that presents itself. God is indispensable, none other. Thank you for your ongoing inquiries, and I hope you find the interpretation suitable, for I will negotiate, if it be with honor, in all directions. But I shall not compromise one tiny iota of the conditions placed forth by God Creator. And we all know what are those conditions. Salut.
Commander, did you wish me to continue?
Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. This has to be confronted because of new things that have come up just since yesterday.
This is from Sunday, October the 22nd. A personal word from Dad.
That's me.
Dad.
To you.
What do you see and what do you specifically hear as you plod along your physical pathway? When you stop seeing that which is around you, when you stop thanking God each moment for the experience, when you refuse to hear that which is offered, even when you question, you are simply existing and not living. You walk in infinite beauty in every moment of this wondrous journey, and yet you see only that which is the emotional life stream will allow. When the heart is bent and broken, how many beautiful flowers do you see? How many do you stop to smell? Do you hear the sound of crickets or the chatter of squirrels? Or do you only imagine the clutter and clatter of their little voices as the mind ponders its revenge or, at the least, management of the time for healing? Yesterday in the millet field where Dharma was gathering grain, she was angry that Rod had taken the only keys to the harvest equipment and had lied when he said he had mailed them to Utah to the lenders of the financing for the swather and harvester machines. It wasn't his to send, nor his to toss away the keys, but he did so. However, he did not send them along with their manuals to the people in Utah as he claimed. The grain is lost, for there is no way to cut it now without destroying it. He didn't even do that much. You will be quite annoyed and surprised to find what he did with those keys and other things which you will find and surprise you, trick or treat. Well, you guess what is in that diesel tank, plugging the outlet. Nothing can get into that diesel tank without being put there from the opening in the top. You thought you were dealing with a mature man? No, you were dealing with a man who takes and plants revenge when caught in his own trap and lies in deceit. Worse, he teaches his children to be equally cruel and hard. The public image is beautiful and serene, but the pain is whirling like a dust devil. The little boys were allowed to catch ground squirrels and poke them, puncture them, cut them, and stomp them. This is a game? No, I think not. Did Mommy know? The rest of you knew. How could she not know? But back to the field. As Dharma and EJ walked down the weed-overgrown row to meet Al, she stepped in a hole that was up to her knees. Just wham, and she was in it. Stunned but thankful to not have been running, for a broken leg would have resulted from any forward motion. The thought came of ground squirrels, but the hole was too large. Then weasels, and then the thought of a rattlesnake loomed next. Ah, but nothing bitter, so okay, just get out and go on.
And besides, Zita has Marina's crutch.
Wait in line.
Rick found two such holes, which would break the leg of a horse if stepped within. But my point is, what were the thoughts? Do you see the holes, watch for the holes in a normal field and walk around them, or do you just hippity-hop and hit every one of them? Obviously, Dharma just walks into them. You must understand, of course, that a well-tended field will not have five-year-old burrows in its middle, for the animals will move to the perimeters to dig entrances to avoid having to redig community openings for major neighborhood tunnel complexes. I asked Rod to make feeding stations on the edges of the fields. He did nothing. He then announced that these are not protected Mojave ground squirrels, and feeding stations will just cause proliferation. I asked him if they would, however, leave the field where he felt them to be a problem. All the fields were simply weed patches. He agreed, but objected to the extra labor to locate the little bat. This is just. This is respect and harmony. So be it, for if you feel it is, you have a problem. My reflection, however, is not the hole, but the thought surrounding a hole in which you might now be standing knee-deep. Well, in this instance, it was a relief, for a broken leg is most annoying when you have so much work to do as to be stymied anyway.
And Marina's crutch missing.
So much for the hole. Next, turn to the thoughts of the loss of crops. When the feeling washes over that it would be so much better to just have the hundreds and hundreds of pounds of lentils and millet which were now wasted on the fields, so that at least you would have the funds spent for seeds, or at the least the stash of grain and lentils for the larger, then the next overwhelming thought is, what do we do now? After the grain plot, they move to the sunflower field, where there are ripening sunflower heads, only to find thousands upon thousands of blackbirds eating their way to overweight. There were at least 2 to 3 blasters bought for the sunflower field, but Rod didn't bother to hook them up, and now they can't be found, still in their boxes. Well, perhaps they are also in the diesel fuel tank. And who do you suppose keeps coming and opening the house doors and leaving them open? The shadow? Spud doesn't let a stranger within 50 yards of that house. Games knows these are not games, nor accepted as cute Halloween prank. There is now a guard living on the premises, so I suggest you spread the word to be cautious in the trick arena. Planning. But from his heart, EJ asked me, what of planning? What do you want us to do? Farmers with equipment left after bankruptcy at the hands of government are scarce. Spelt needs planting a month ago, and at the latest a week ago. What will we do? Well, what do you want to do? You have at least 4 choices. Find a farmer and rent equipment if you can garner enough funds. Plant later than optimum and remain marginal in crop production. Time to change the tape. This is tape number 2 from October 22nd, 1995. Maybe I should repeat just a little bit.